Later on Annenberg Radio News.
You can order through the app, come into the store, food's ready to pick up.
A new mobile app released today may be putting a drive-through in the junkyard. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, October 28, 2014. I'm Rocky Natha.
And I'm Tiffany Walton. The Republican candidate for governor, Neil Kashkari, paid a visit to Pasadena just a few days ahead of next Tuesday's election. Taylor Haney reports Kashkari is determined to make these final days count.
Neil Kashkari spoke to the Pasadena Republican Women's Federated Luncheon this afternoon. First, he rehashed his background as the son of immigrants from India who rose to work for President Bush as Assistant Secretary of the Treasury. He drew a clear distinction between himself and Governor Jerry Brown when it comes to education. He blamed California Democrats for neglecting schools and driving jobs out of state. Kashkari struck the podium as he made his case for governor.
So the reason I decided to run for governor is I wanted to rebuild the middle class of California. I want to fix the schools so that every kid in every neighborhood, I don't care who his or her parents are, every kid gets a good education.
After his speech, Kashkari drove home the same message outside the Pasadena Women's City Club.
So for the last few weeks of the election, I'm just making it focus on education. Jerry Brown had a very clear choice, stand up and fight for kids or fight for the unions that have funded his political career. He betrayed the kids and he's backing the unions and he should be ashamed of himself.
Kashkari says he can still win his race against Governor Brown, despite a recent CBS News poll that puts him 18 points behind. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
Those were the shouts of members of the coalition Fix LA and their supporters. They're calling on city officials to adopt a $15 minimum wage, job creation programs, and other improvements for residents. Brian Kim shares his reason for marching today.
We're here to support the city workers of LA because the city is actually using a lot of their money to fund projects in Wall Street rather than actually going towards the city itself and a lot of the employees working for it.
The marchers gathered this morning at the steps of City Hall.
The Los Angeles City Council approved a $5 million clean streets plan today. The money will pay for sanitation crews to clean the city a total of 40 hours each month. 25 of those hours will be dedicated to impacted areas such as Skid Row. The money is in addition to $3.7 million budgeted this year to clean up areas in downtown Los Angeles. Personal data from at least 18.5 million Californians was hacked or compromised last year. Many of these individuals could become victims of fraud. That's according to a new report from the State Attorney General's office. The figures show a massive increase in the amount of data that has been compromised. The two major hacking incidents that occurred last year at Target and the Daily Deals company Living Social account for a large portion of this. The report says that these cybercrimes are often carried out by highly skilled international criminal organizations. Attorney General Kamala Harris addressed concerns around this report at a press conference this morning.
This report is issued in essence to highlight and to make clear that where there are breaches of data, where there is an issue where individuals' private information is being shared without their permission, that there must be consequence and accountability, because as the report highlights, there's damage that results from the sharing and the dissemination, unauthorized sharing and dissemination of that data.
To find out more about how we can protect our personal data online, I spoke to Clifford Newman, director for the USC Center for Computer System Security.
One of the reasons that we have been seeing an increase in the attacks that are reported, whether it be in the news or whether it be in this report, is that we're demanding more and more access to our data through the internet. And when a customer insist that they get this kind of access, it becomes much more difficult to allow them that access without allowing similar kinds of access to someone that is able to break into the system, perhaps using stolen passwords, or breaking into the systems through endpoints, such as point-of-sale terminals. You're starting to see improvements in the security applied in these areas, but a large part of the problem is that once someone managed to do this, the techniques that they used became more widely available. They're traded on bulletin boards, they're traded through other means, and then slight variations of these have been created and they've infected many more systems.
What should retail stores be doing, or is this something that the banks need to take care of?
Well, in fact, the major retailers are doing major audits of their back-end systems. They're improving the techniques for detecting intrusions, and they are, at the behest of the banks, starting to install the chip card readers. So, of course, it's been realized that the credit card companies need to move away from simply using credit card numbers or the magnetic stripes, which effectively are just the credit card numbers, to a more secure method based on encryption using chips on cards. That's something that's going to be deployed within the next year and a half. We're going to see widespread use of that. In fact, just today I got a reissue of a credit card that had that technology on it.
As an average citizen, an average person in California, what can we do to keep ourselves safe and ensure we don't become victim to this type of fraud?
First of all, one should check your credit card statements regularly. If you've got online access to them, use that to check the transactions that came in within the past few days or the past week. Many credit card companies will now allow you to set up alerts where any transaction over a certain amount generates an email message to you as well. But you've also got to be careful not to immediately go clicking on email messages you might receive that say, oh, there has been this fraudulent transaction, because oftentimes then you click on the link and it's actually not from your credit card company. It is from a criminal that is trying to get you to provide them with the password to your online accounts. You've got to be aware of what you're doing online. You want to use online tools to be aware of what is being done with your accounts and transactions.
That was Clifford Newman, director for the USC Center for Computer Systems Security.
Put on your winter coat. It's going to be a frosty 63 degrees tonight. Tomorrow, we continue our streak of California sunshine with a high of 83 and no clouds in sight. Things cool off a little for Halloween, rolling into the 70s with a low of 57 degrees.
Later on Annenberg Radio News, Halloween is just days away. What costumes can you expect to see while you're out trick-or-treating?
Some new characters will be joining the Marvel Universe. The film company revealed Phase 3 of its film schedule at El Capitan Theater today. They announced the titles and release dates of all its new movies up to 2019. The list of movies includes sequels as well as new titles such as The Black Panther and Captain Marvel. These are the first films from Marvel Comics to have black and female main characters. Halloween celebrators caused a stir over the weekend on social media. Some decided to dress up like Ray Rice, while others donned Ebola-themed costumes. Kevin Mallory visited a local costume shop to find out what local residents have planned for the holiday weekend.
This is the Spirit Halloween store in West LA, where costumes, accessories, and scary animatronics line the aisles. While people have the option of dressing like a gynecologist with a questionable name or a stereotypical redneck, sales associate Antonio Esquivel says that this year's most popular costumes are what you might expect.
As of now, I would say it was mostly our Frozen dresses and our superhero section. A lot of people tend to like those.
According to the National Retail Federation, the Halloween costume industry is worth over $7 billion, and like other businesses, costume shops look at the trends in pop culture. Amber Woodson, who also works at Spirit Halloween, says that some of the year's most popular themes she has seen follow one of the year's smash hit shows and successful Hollywood films.
For adults, it's been a lot of our Game of Thrones and our superheroes, because we have a lot of the setups that are new pretty much this year. And for children, it's definitely been Star Wars on request and Monster High for the girls.
Customer Juliana Sareta says she plans to hang out in Hollywood this Halloween. She and her significant other will portray a unique relationship.
And I'm going to dress up like a SWAT girl, and my boyfriend is a prisoner.
While some may want to push the envelope and go for something more edgy or trendy, witches, princesses, and superhero costumes still make up a lot of costume store inventory. The classics are not going anywhere. Kevin Mallory, Annenberg Radio News.
So, Rocky, what are you going to be this year for Halloween?
An Egyptian goddess. Think Katy Perry, Dark Horse.
Wow.
Exciting.
I was a bumblebee last year, so I think I'm going to just recycle my costume and wear that.
Recycle it into what?
Just the same thing, just another year of bumblebee.
With an edge.
Yes. More honey.
Well, I'm very excited to be going to the big parade on Friday. It's my first time doing that in LA, and I heard it's amazing.
It is.
The San Francisco Giants could be celebrating their third World Series win in 5 years tonight. The Kansas City Royals will host the Giants for Game 6 of the series. If the Royals pull off a win, the Giants will stick around to play Game 7 in Kansas City tomorrow night. So far, the Giants lead the series 3-2-2.
Brian Scott will make his debut as a new head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers in tonight's season opener against the Houston Rockets. Scott was hired as the 25th coach in the team's history last July after Mike D'Antoni resigned in April. D'Antoni led the Lakers during their worst season since moving to L.A. in 1960. Kathleen Hanna is an iconic punk singer, and a documentary about her music is screening at USC. Megan Farnsworth talked to Hanna about her career.
Riot Girl was all about crunchy guitar chords, biting vocals, and bold feminist lyrics. Kathleen Hanna embodied that when she started the movement with Alison Wolfe in the early 90s. Here's Wolfe.
I remember riding on the city bus and seeing this girl who looked like Tank Girl. I mean, she had a shaved head, combat boots, and she was super intense, always glaring at everything. And I was like, who is that? It turns out it was Kathleen Hanna. She was in this band with, I think, two guys, two girls called Viva Knievel, and she was screaming at the top of her lungs on stage with just a red face, and she looked like she was going to explode, sweating, veins popping out of her neck, whatever, and she was screaming, boy poison, boy poison, boy poison, or something, and I thought, wow, that girl is crazy, it's awesome. When she talks, just having that, like a local person on stage, just letting it all hang out made a huge impression on me.
Kathleen Hanna began her feminist work as a college student in Olympia, Washington. She always felt overlooked, but had a lot to say. She tried spoken word, but then countercultural writer Kathy Acker told her this: no one goes to spoken word shows but people who go to see bands. So Hanna started playing punk music.
I'm a little girl at the picnic. What's up, pulling a dress up?
Hannah told me that with punk came a sense of community for her and for the women who attended her shows.
Music is part of community building. We're all in the same place. I think anytime that women play music on stage and other women see them, or any other disenfranchised person feels inspired by what we do, we're feeding into a cultural bed that can later create social change.
The documentary on Hannah, called The Punk Singer, is screening on November 2nd at USC's Ray Stark Family Theater. She'll also perform with her current band, The Julie Ruin, at USC on November 3rd. Megan Farnsworth, Annenberg Radio News.
UAC students got the chance to sample healthy food from around LA. The Environmental Student Assembly put on the event to show students the nutritious food options available in their neighborhood. The USC Healthy Food Fair on McCarthy Quad featured restaurants and food trucks that sell juices, smoothies, salads, and more.
I think this is some kind of leaf or something, but it tastes really good.
Our menu is Ethiopian traditional food with a California twist. So we do a lot of really fresh salads and vibrant ingredients like our beets, our kale. And then we have our traditional dishes like spicy red lentils, curry potatoes and carrots and cabbage. And we serve it with a gluten-free injera, which is our traditional flatbread.
The lentils, I guess. It's so good.
It's pretty good. It's good.
Well, we are here because we've been partnering with them, the ESA, on a few different events, and they invited us to come and share our vegan, gluten-free options with the USC community. So we're really excited to be part of the growing health consciousness on campus.
It's kale salad, and I guess it's beans and stuff, and it's pretty hot, and it's pretty flavorful, I guess, and it's vegan and healthy and stuff.
My name is Jay, and I'm the owner for the Lemon Juice Bar. We co-press every morning, 6 o'clock. And we bottle that on site. And we sell that on site as well. And we also have a lot of smoothies, a lot of bowls. They are all made to order, and they are 100% organic.
Can I try that one?
That one too?
Yeah.
This is the fruit called pitaya. Yeah, and the first time I had something made from pitaya. It's amazing. Yeah, it tastes good.
Can I try the watermelon?
The watermelon meat?
Yeah.
This one is super refreshing and super good. Watermelon is really good for your skin.
It's light and refreshing. I tried the ginger vegetable one, which is strong. The ginger taste is really strong, but it was really good. And then I tried the pineapple, which was pretty sweet, but I liked it.
It is really nice, really tasty, it is yummy.
That story was produced by Priyanka Jo.
If you're a fan of the drive-thru but hate the inconvenience of dealing with a real-life person, Taco Bell may just have the technology for you. Andy Visoyan explains.
The future of the drive-thru has moved to a very unusual place, inside your phone. That's what Taco Bell thinks, at least. The fast food chain unveiled a new mobile app today that lets buyers custom build their taco, one ingredient at a time.
This app allows for the mobile ordering, and from what I understand, you can customize your tacos from the app and really engage with the brand in a new way that really you haven't even been able to do in the restaurants.
Sam Okus is the editor of QSR Magazine, which monitors quick service and other restaurants. He says the Taco Bell's app is kind of a big deal.
I don't know if it's the biggest thing since the drive-thru, but being able to order from a mobile app, that's going to change the entire fast food industry.
He also says that this is another example of companies trying to connect with a new generation.
Taco Bell's key demographic is definitely millennials, younger generations, probably skews a little bit more male. And they're doing a really excellent job of catering to that crowd.
Fast food companies are facing competition from food trucks and new fast casual restaurants like Chipotle.
So the challenge will be for fast food in the future to try to steal market share back. And that's why you're seeing a lot of the brands do some of these more innovative things, because they recognize that competition is thick right now.
With competition as thick as a Doritos Locos Taco Supreme, Taco Bell's new app may just be the edge they need. Andy Visoyan, Annenberg Radio News.
The recent widespread panic over the deadly Ebola virus has distracted local residents from a more common threat, the flu. The LA County Department of Public Health is pairing up with local libraries to open more than 100 sites to offer flu shots. The vaccinations are free for people who are uninsured or those whose insurance does not cover the shot. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, each year an average of 5 to 20% of Americans get the flu, and more than 200,000 are hospitalized from flu-related complications.
Kim Loeffler to see what's coming up on Edinburgh TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Hi, Kim.
Hi. So tonight on ATVN, we have a story about the second nursing contracting Ebola from Thomas Duncan. She was released today from Emory University Hospital in Atlanta. We'll tell you what she said after she was released. We have updates from a water main break in Hollywood. Find out when roads are expected to open. We were at an on-campus summit today for domestic violence. Find out why the panelists say there needs to be more awareness about the issue. And we have a special report on a Halloween event for children with special needs.
Kim, are you dressing up for Halloween?
I am. I wanted to keep it simple this year, so I think I'm just going to be Goofy from Disney.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, definitely. Goofy. Really looking forward to it.
Yay. Thanks, Kim.
Of course.
Keep losing your rabbit? The City Council just adopted a policy to make lost bunnies easier to find. The policy requires rabbit owners to microchip their pets. The chips will help shelters get stray rabbits back to their owners and help animal services identify animal hoarders. Microchipping a rabbit will cost owners about $15. And to add a little bit of sweetness to your daily news, Dunkin' Donuts will be releasing its own croissant donut hybrid in US. Locations next week, but whatever you do, don't call it a cronut. Dunkin's version of the trendy pastry will be introduced nationwide for a limited time starting November 3rd. At $2.49, the croissant donut is more than twice the price of their more traditional offerings. The cronut craze may be a much-needed boost to the company, which reported disappointing quarterly sales last week.
That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Priyanka Deo, Maya Getter, Dana Lee, Sean Leonard, Carrie Poppy, Christiana Wiggins, and Mark Salinger. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci, Madeline Yules, and the newscast producer and the executive producer is Andy Vasoyan. With Rocky Natha, I'm Tiffany Walton. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News.